It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar, because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P. Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and today we've got another off-season podcast for you. We are going to be going down memory lane, looking at something that is very obscure that maybe some people from back in the day remember, maybe some people don't remember, but we're here to remind some people about that. It's a game show we're going to be talking about today with a familiar twist, and with me to talk about this show is my good friend who has never been on the podcast before. It's about time, but I'm happy to finally have an excuse to have him on the Happy Hour. He is a Survivor super fan. He is a Big Brother super fan. He's a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. You might even call him an RHAP historian. It is my good pal, Matt Ligori. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, but I don't think anybody can take that title from you. As I've pointed out to you before, you are the biggest RHAP historian that I know. So I don't think anybody's taking that title from you anytime soon, but I appreciate it.
I don't know. I think like back in the day, I think I was a little better, Matt. But like in terms of like the past like couple of years, I haven't like I used to listen to like everything and like listen to it twice. Now, maybe not so much. That's up for debate. We should see. Maybe there can be like an RHAP Jeopardy at some point just based on RHAP episodes. That might be kind of fun.
I have full confidence in you. You pull out these random facts from way back in the day that, you know, before I ever even started listening to the podcast that I don't think many people would be able to remember. So I think you've got that ready to go.
Okay. Well, Matt, why don't you talk to us a little bit before we get into what we're going to be talking about today? Why don't you talk to the listeners a little bit about yourself? So how long have you been listening to the podcast? How long have you been a reality TV fan? Would love to get your – I think the audience would love to hear from you on that.
Yeah, so I have been listening to the podcast, not as long as, you know, a bunch of the other super fans like you, but definitely for a few years now. And pretty much right off the bat, I joined up because I joined Patreon and, you know, became a patron as soon as that came out. And I've been listening probably since, I want to say Blood versus Water was around when I jumped in. And Survivor has been, you know, always like the number one show for me. Started watching it, not the first season, which, you know, it's always cool to hear the people that have been there since day one and, you know, much respect to them, but I have not been around since day one, probably somewhere around All Stars is when I jumped in. And, you know, for the people who don't like All Stars, yes, All Stars can hook somebody into Survivor. It's still one of my favorite seasons. And, I'll admit that right off the bat and get people against me already, but that's okay. And then with Big Brother, I jumped in more recently. Big Brother 16 was my first season, which again, an unpopular season can hook people into it. So that was my first season of Big Brother, and I've pretty much been hooked on all that stuff. You know, for a while now, been listening to your podcast ever since it was started. So I guess I'm a day one or Happy Hour fan. I don't know if I can. Is that something to brag about yet, or maybe one day?
Maybe one day. Maybe not quite yet, Matt. But wait,
well,
hey,
it's something. That one.
Yeah, it's something. So you're a big RHAP fan, and then we've kind of just connected through the podcast over the years. You watched my season of Big Brother Canada.
Somehow people still liked you after seeing what happened on there.
Right. So Matt and Matt and I go way back, and you know, we've Matt lives in Long Island, so we've hung out lives on Long Island. My mistake. Matt lives on Long Island, take two. And we've hung out at some of the know-it-all events in the past. So Matt and I are good pals, so I've been trying to figure out a way to get him on the podcast. I figured this would be a good way to kind of squeeze you in here here and see if this works. It's a very random topic. Who knows how many people are going to be checking this out? But
it's the off season. You got to pull out whatever you can try to get at here.
Exactly. So we're going to give you guys some off season content. And today, Matt, we're going to be talking about. And this is something you texted me, and you were like, "Hey, someone should do a podcast on this." And I said, "Okay, yeah. Do you want to do it?" And you're like, "Okay, sure." So talk to us. What are we going to be talking about today?
All right. So I mean, this idea originated from just a post that somebody put up on the Survivor Reddit. So if you're that person, you're the person who came up with the idea for this one. So shout out to you. But we're going to be talking about the Survivor edition of the Weakest Link. It was just a special that they did back in 2001. I think the actual air date of it was May 10th, 2001. So what they would do back when the show was airing, you know, because the show has since stopped airing, they would have specials with different groups of well, sometimes it would be just regular people that would, you know, try to get on the show, similar to any other game show out there. People try to get on. But sometimes they would have specials. They had one for Fear Factor. I think they had two for the WWE, and they had one for Survivor because, you know, back then, you know, it can't be understated how popular these Survivors were back in the day, especially, you know, the first ones who, you know, set the tone for everything that was to come. So they had a special where six contestants from Survivor Borneo were on the show, and they were competing playing for charities, and there was actually a house minimum or something like that, where no matter what, if you won or lost, everybody took home $10,000 for the charity that they were playing for. So everybody got to win something, and then whoever is going to win is going to win a bigger prize that, you know, is earned throughout the game. So yeah, that's what this is. It's a Survivor special that was of the Weakest Link, and let's dive into it whenever.
Okay, so just to set things up for people, so the Weakest Link, I'm sure, you know, if you are a longtime reality TV fan or like a game show fan, you're probably familiar with the Weakest Link. It was a pretty popular show in the early 2000s, and then it kind of just like died off. So if you're like a millennial, maybe you never saw this show, but I do recommend you check it out, and we're going to go through it. We have some of the clips from the show, so we're going to play that along as we go through the episode, so that way you know what we're talking about. But just to explain for people, Matt, what is the Weakest Link? Like, how does this, because this isn't a game show that's around anymore, how did that show work?
Right, so I'll set that all up for you. So just to start things off, it was hosted by a woman named Anne Robinson. She is hysterical. She makes the show. She was actually the host of the UK version of the show, and that one was like 13 seasons, 1,600 plus episodes, and it ended a few years ago. Well, I guess 2012 isn't really a few years ago anymore, but you know, kind of. So that show ended, and she was over here doing the show for 2 years or so. It was eventually taken over by a man named George Gray, who is now the narrator for The Price is Right. So the way the show works is that there's six contestants. Each round, trivia questions are asked to all the players. They start with the strongest link from the previous round, which, you know, we'll explain that, except for the first round, where they're going to start with the person in the first position furthest to the left. So the goal is to create a chain of answering questions correctly. And the more that you answer correctly, the more you're going to earn per question. So it begins at $1,000 for the first question, $2,500 for the second question, $5,000 for the third, and so on, with the highest amount being $125,000 in a single round if six questions can be answered in a row, and then that would end the round. And then by the end of the game, you could win up to a total of $1,000,000. Pretty sure that nobody ever won $1,000,000 on the show. The highest amount was, I looked it up, I think it was like $188,000. So nobody ever got that high. You know, you would probably need some of the most intelligent minds out there, and, you know.
No, but even then, Matt, I mean, it's pretty much impossible, because the questions are trivia questions, and as you'll see when we get into the episode, they're really all over the place. And maybe it seems like the questions are hard for us because we are both millennials, and you know, these are questions that were trivia questions 15 years ago,
right?
When we were like, I guess we would have been like what, like 7 or 8 when this would have been on. So yeah, I mean, maybe that's why side seems like hard to me, but even then, like the survivors, they really struggle with the questions. They're hard. So yeah. Interesting concept for sure.
Yeah. And there was probably a lot of pressure on them. The fact that they were playing for charities and, you know, they're well-known people. So it's not like just random Joe walks in off the street. And if he does really bad in the game show, no one's going to remember. But, you know, right. These people have not that they have a reputation to answer trivia questions correctly, but they have a reputation, you know, just for not being a complete idiot. So if they get every single question wrong, it's not going to look great on their part. But no. Anyway, so back to the game. So the catch of the game is that once you answer a question correctly, you aren't secured that amount of money just yet. You can only put you put money into this collective pool. And then in order for the money that you earn to go into the pool, somebody has to bank it by saying the word bank before they answer their question. So you can't bank it after your question. If somebody gets a question correctly and you want to save the money that they just earned, before you answer your question, you have to say bank. So if you're confident and you want to take a shot at climbing the ladder for higher values, you can go for it and don't say bank. But if you answer your question incorrectly without banking the money, then you're going to lose whatever money was earned by the players before you. You know, since the last time that money was banked, or if it was the start of the round. So if you, you know, if you do bank, you save the money that you earn, but you have to start a new chain from the lowest prize amount. So if you get a question correctly, you win, you earn $1,000. If I bank it, then I have to start back at $1,000 to start the ladder over again. But, you know, people are usually going to bank the money if they're not too confident, or if they get, you know, nervous that they're going to answer a question incorrectly or something like that. So then rounds last for a specific amount of time. In this episode specifically, it's 2 minutes per round. And then each round, since we lose a contestant each round, 15 seconds are knocked off the clock. And then at the end of each round, the money that is earned will be added to the total winnings to be taken at the end by the player who wins the final round.
So it is possible, Matt, to go in a round and get like five questions right. But if no one banks any, if people get them wrong and nobody's banking any of this money, you could theoretically end up in a round with next to no money.
Yep. Absolutely. You could end up with $0 in a round, and that's not going to happen in this game, thank God. But you definitely could end up in a situation where you get nothing. But, you know, on the flip side, if you have enough contestants, you know, answering questions correctly, you could end up with $125,000 at the end of the round. But that doesn't happen too often.
No. Okay. So we've got the game set up. Who from Survivor Borneo is playing in this this Survivor edition of The Weakest Link? Because for me, when you first said, "Oh yeah, there's a Survivor edition of The Weakest Link," it's Survivor Borneo, and I was like, "Okay, we're gonna have Rudy, and you know, we're gonna have Jervis and Colleen, and you know, maybe you know, Richard and Sue." But no, that's not really, you know, we had some of those people, but we didn't have who I necessarily thought we were going to have. So who is who's the roster? Who are the six people from Survivor Borneo that we got on this show?
Right. Well, like, you know, all these people were so popular back then. So and they were doing all different kinds of shows. So just because, you know, Rudy wasn't on this or, you know, other person wasn't on that, everybody was on something. So this particular group of people is consisted of Ramona, and she at the time, you know, they reveal a little bit about themselves. So Ramona, she's 30 and she is a chemist. We have Joel. He's 29 years old. He's a health club consultant. We have Gretchen, 39, who is a mom. Dr. Sean, 31, who is a neurologist. Richard, 40 years old, a motivational speaker and, spoiler alert, the winner of Survivor Borneo. And then we have Sue, who is 39 and a truck driver. So the six of them are competing in this game.
So it's interesting. It's kind of like a little bit all over the board.
Yeah.
I mean, we have some like pre-merge people in Ramona and Joel. Mm-hmm. We have Gretchen, who is, you know, the first victim of being pagonged.
Yeah.
And then we have some other people. We have Sean and Sue. They were around, day 36, day 37, and then Richard, who ultimately ended up winning. Interesting. I mean, the one thing for me that was really interesting watching this was like seeing like Richard said his job title was motivational speaker. I was just like, oh wow, okay, like this is what that's what I guess Richard was doing in between him winning and this, because I guess these people, Matt, and talk to me a little bit about this, like these people were legitimately celebrities back then, right?
it's hard for us to like give a full, you know, endorsement of that, because just the fact that we were so young at the time. So, you know, we didn't see it the way that people saw it around then. But, you know, I mean, shout out to you know, Mario Lanza and all the other guys who have done a great job over the years of covering the, you know, significance of these earlier seasons and how important these people were, because they really were. They were just as big of a celebrity and just as big of a name as anybody else. And, you know, you don't see anything like that today. You don't see anybody coming off these shows, as much as they would probably like it to be like that. They're nowhere near as, you know, famous or with this kind of celebrity status as the people back then did. Even the early, you know, the pre-merge people, or the people who, you know, now if they finished in the spot would be even less significant than somebody who won. But it was just all these people who were from the first season of Survivor, which is such a big deal. Someone like Colleen, who was, you know, America's sweetheart. And, you know, of course, she's not going to come up on a show like this because she's busy making movies and all that stuff. But, you know, the level of fame that they saw is something that, you know, people are going to see it a little bit after, you know, Elizabeth Hasselbeck and, you know, some of the other people that came off the show are going to see similar kinds of fame. But, you know, as the years go on, you're not going to see anything like that.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's very funny seeing this. I mean, it would be like if Sunday came off of the last Survivor season and then she was a celebrity. It's like, wait, what? Like, nobody, like, Sunday's a very nice lady, but like, no, you know, people from Survivor now, it's just like, it's like being on Jeopardy. You go, you're on the show. While you're on the show, you have fun, and then you take your ball and you go home. Yep. Whereas for these people, the general public was genuinely interested in people like Ramona or Joel. Well, maybe not so much them, but, you know, Sue and Rich and Sean even.
Yeah, these people were on everything. And, you know, one thing that stood out to me from looking up just things about Sue, because, you know, she was one of the bigger names. She was, you know, this 39-year-old truck driver, a character that television hadn't ever seen before. And she's, you know, she's going to say what's on her mind, and she's going to, you know, make you love her or hate her as she's saying it. One thing that she did that, I don't know if if you knew about this, but she interviewed George W. Bush on Live with Regis in 2000 when they Regis didn't have a co-host then. Eventually, it was going to get taken, you know, the job was going to get taken by Kelly Ripa. How do you say her name?
Yeah, it's Kelly Ripa. Is it Kelly Ripa? Ripa? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I always want to say Ripa, but that's totally not right. but she interviewed George W. Bush on a show as big, you know, as big as Live with Regis. Well,
how did so Sue was like, they asked her to be the fill-in co-host.
Yeah, they had people like Whoopi Goldberg, Rosie O'Donnell, Caroline Rea, like all these big names, and you know, along with that list of people who co-hosted the show, Sue Hawk.
Oh my God.
And you know, George W. Bush at the time, I think, was running for office. He hadn't been in office yet because this was around 2000, and, you know, he hopped in around 2001. So, you know, she's interviewing him while he's, you know, in campaign mode and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, let's watch all these interviews with George W. Bush with Sue Hawk.
My goodness.
So that happened.
I wish we could find footage of this interview.
I'm sure it's out there somewhere. So yeah, imagine Sunday Berquist interviewing, you know,
Donald Trump before he takes office.
Yes, that would have been something.
Oh man!
And if anyone was for the job, it's Sunday Berquist.
Yeah, hey, Sunday would, I think, actually do a good, like, be good at it. Sue, I don't know. Sue would be like, oh, you know, George Bush, he's so stupid, eh? Wow.
Sunday and Brett, maybe the tag team will.
Maybe that would be a fun talk show. Sunday and Brett. I would watch that. okay, so yeah, we get in the picture. It's like, okay, these people are big names. So they come on, NBC asks them to come on this celebrity. I love how it's a celebrity edition of, like, it's so funny thinking about this. This is like a celebrity edition of The Weakest Link, and they have to play for charity. Yeah. These people, like, nowadays in real life, like, these Survivor people are not rich enough to, like, be playing for charity. They would need the money for themselves.
They would love to have this extra money for themselves.
Yeah.
Especially now when the money's worth so much less than it was back then. But even back then, like, these people aren't are rich. It's not like the WWE can, the superstars from there, they go on and, you know, they can afford to let this money go to charity. But, you know, these Survivor people probably could use the money.
Yeah, probably. I mean, looking back now, 15 or so years later, they're probably like, oh, man, I wish I had that Weakest Link money.
Right. But and one thing I want to just touch on before I forget about it, before we get into the episode, one interesting fact about this whole episode is that this show, The Weakest Link, was airing at the time on NBC. NBC and CBS are obviously two different, stations. CBS is where Survivor was, so it is a little weird if you think about it that CBS contestants were allowed on NBC. So I did, you know, a little digging into finding out how this was allowed. It turns out that their contracts, I believe, were up with CBS at the end of 2000, so they were free to go around and, you know, do other things like this. And it's not like they were promoting the show. But one thing that you'll notice if you watch the show and, you know, pay attention for it, they never once specifically say that these contestants are from Survivor. They cannot say the name of the show once. They can hint to it, and they do throughout some of the questions and some of the jokes that Anne Robinson makes. They you know, definitely hint and play on the word Survivor, Survive, but they definitely don't mention the name of the show once.
Yeah, and that is, Matt, my biggest gripe with this whole thing is that they can't mention Survivor. They can't say it. They don't say it at all. They make these hints to it. They have these people that are just like, oh, here is, like, there's no introduction to these people. Like, if you didn't watch, like, if you watch this now, like, if you watch this without being a Survivor fan, if I just showed this to one of my friends and said, okay, watch this episode of The Weakest Link, they'd be like, what? Well, this is so weird. Like, who are these people? Why are they doing this? And the whole time, and you'll see when we get into the episode, the entire episode is based around, like, the whole elimination process is based, it is completely, completely illogical. It makes absolutely no sense unless you watch Survivor. And if you understand what happened on Survivor Borneo, then you get why people go out the way they do. But if you don't watch that and you're just a fan of The Weakest Link, and you've no interest in Survivor, I imagine that people wanted to, like, throw their remotes through their TVs because the logic and how they eliminate the people and they vote each other out, it's just so stupid.
Yeah, I don't remember, you know, too many other episodes of The Weakest Link, but I'm sure that it didn't go in this kind of way. The mindset that these guys have going into how they're going to vote out people is... It doesn't make any sense.
No. I mean, it makes sense if you watch the season, and we'll get into it. But for the other people, it's like no sense at all. And I watched The Weakest Link as a kid, and that's not how they did it. They got rid of who the weakest link was. They got rid of the person who got the most answers wrong because they wanted more money, and then they would vote people out. Now, this actually might not be a bad strategy with what they end up doing. Right. But we'll get into it. But yeah, it's just very frustrating to watch. So the
name of the show is The Weakest Link, and it doesn't necessarily go like that in this episode. But yeah, let's get into the episode.
Let's get into the episode. So we're gonna play some clips from the episode for you guys, so you can understand what's going on, and that way you don't have to look it up. But if you do want to watch the whole episode without being interrupted, you can go on YouTube, just search The Weakest Link Survivor Edition, and it will come up for you. But anyway, let's jump into it.
Welcome to a special edition of The Weakest Link. Any of the six people behind me could win up to $1 million for the charity of their choice. However, no man is an island. If they want to win the money, they'll have to work as a team. But five of them will not survive, as round by round, they vote off The Weakest Link. Let's meet the team.
Ramona, 30, Edison, New Jersey, chemist.
Gretchen, 39, Clarksville, Tennessee, mom.
Joel, 29, Green Bay, Wisconsin, health club consultant.
Sean, 31, New York City, neurologist.
Richard, 40, Newport, Rhode Island, motivational speaker.
Susan, 39, Palmyra, Wisconsin, truck driver.
Now the rules. In each round, the aim is to answer enough questions correctly to reach your $125,000 target within the time limit. The first round lasts for 2 minutes. We'll start with the player in the first position. That's Ramona. Let's play the weakest link. Start the clock. Ramona, in There's Something About Mary, who played Private Eye Pat Healy? Matt Dillon. Gretchen, which comic book hero appeared first, Batman or Superman?
Superman.
Correct. Joel, in music, Money for Nothing was a number one song for which band?
The Beatles.
Dire Straits. Sean, Woodrow Wilson was at one time president of which Ivy League university?
Yeah.
Princeton. Richard, the original Love Boat series was set on board a ship from what real-life cruise line?
Princess.
Princess Cruises. Correct. Susan. Frank. Which Irish actor from The Haunting is married to Natasha Richardson?
Neil Young.
Liam Neeson. Ramona, in geography, which Texas city is home to the Alamo? San Antonio. Gretchen, in which hand does the Statue of Liberty hold her torch?
The right.
Correct. Joel, which U.S. observance was established in 1872 to promote the preservation of trees?
Audubon Society.
Arbor Day. Sean, what A is the group of nations who fought against the Axis in World War II?
Can you repeat the question?
What A is the group of nations who fought against the Axis in World War II?
The Allies.
Correct. Richard.
Thanks.
What grain is fermented to make the Japanese wine known as sake?
Rice.
Correct. Susan.
Thanks.
In U.S. currency, 2 bits is equivalent to how many cents?
2 cents.
25 cents. Ramona. Bank. Which band recorded the hit song Eye of the Tiger for the movie Rocky III?
I don't know.
Survivor. Gretchen, what name?
Okay, that is the biggest joke of the entire episode.
Oh, it gets just as good later on. They have all these questions, like I said, that are going to dance around the name Survivor so that they can actually get the word into the show. But the fact that she didn't get that one is great.
It's like, Ramona, what are you thinking? What are you thinking?
And I guess, like, she's not familiar with the song.
I guess not. Eye of the Tiger, though? Like, come on. Like, I know that song. Like, Ramona, that's bad. That's really bad. Okay, let's keep going with round one.
For a standard typewriter keyboard is derived from the first 6 letters in the upper left row.
Quirky.
QWERTY. Joel, in the film Castaway, what did Tom Hanks call his volleyball friend?
Wilson.
Correct. Sean.
Bang.
The Dallas Cowboys won 3 Super Bowls led by what quarterback?
Quirky.
Correct, but you are out of time. And team, you banked a pathetic $4,000.
Now, okay, so they ended up banking $4,000 with that first round, Matt. I actually was like, Anne says that's pathetic. I actually think this was one of the better rounds they have the entire show because they have Richard Hatch.
Right. You would think so. It does get a little bit better for them later, but having Richard is probably the only reason that they get as much as they do in this first round.
Yeah, yeah. They. I mean, it's really a dismal job by everyone, I feel like. I mean, Sean did good with his questions, but his were pretty easy. I mean, I don't know. I guess I should be one to talk because I don't know the answers to these, but it seemed like Richard had all the answers, so I don't know. I feel like if, you know, when I watched that, Matt, I thought, okay, well, Ramona was terrible. She's going to get voted out first. It makes sense. She was voted out first on her season, Survivor Borneo, of these people.
Yes.
But they have different plans, Matt.
Well, and let's not forget, going along this entire time, just keep an ear out for what Anne's saying, because she really is what makes this show so fun. Just everything that she, you know, is going to insult them by saying. So you banked a pathetic $4,000. She's a highlight of the show.
Yeah, she really is great. Okay, so now, Matt, that the round is finished, how does this work with voting people out again?
So everybody is going to get to vote for one person, and then whoever has the most votes is going to be eliminated, you know, from the game. there's always a possibility of a tie if there's an even number of people. But the way that the game works is that each round there is a mathematical strongest link and a weakest link, and the contestants aren't going to know who it is until after they're done voting, and then Anne Robinson is going to reveal it to them. So in this round in particular, Richard was the strongest link, as you could probably figure out by him answering all of his questions correctly, and Ramona was the weakest link. She got no questions correctly. And one thing that you might not be able to pick up from listening to it, but if you decide you want to go back and watch the video as well, she tries to bank money that doesn't exist. She goes right after Sue, and Sue gets a question wrong, and Ramona bank. So she gets no questions right, and she tries to bank money that doesn't exist. So Ramona was the weakest link in that round.
You should get money taken away if you try to bank when there's nothing in there. That should be a rule.
That's harsh. They barely got enough as it is.
Okay, so that's the setup for like what happened here. Ultimately, the votes get revealed, and turns out, Matt, that no, everyone doesn't vote for Ramona, the weakest link. Everyone decides, other than Richard, to vote out Richard Hatch.
Right.
And
the strongest link of the round and the winner of the season that they are all from of Survivor,
yes,
is the first one to fall here.
So frustrating to watch because Richard did so well. He gets them all right. But it's just clear that everyone made a pact, made an alliance before they started playing and said, okay, guys, we're voting out Richard first no matter what. That was really frustrating. But it was very funny that Richard himself decides to vote for Sue, and we can see the tension between Richard and Sue, which we later see get kind of ugly in future Survivor seasons. We see that that's present in 2001.
Yeah, they're always going after each other.
They are. But anyway, let's get back in the episode. So we'll play the explanations from the survivors. But this is what I talked about off the top. This is what I found so frustrating because Anne is really trying to get them to explain why they voted out Richard first, but they can't say, oh, it's because he won our season of Survivor. And so this is a shtick that kind of, for me, got kind of old as the episode went along. But well, let's play it for you, and you can hear the explanations for yourself.
Joel, why have you voted for Richard? Richard answered all of his questions correctly. Why do you want to get rid of him?
Well, doesn't everybody?
Susan, why Richard? Do you not like Richard?
I'm just tired of playing games with Richard.
Ramona.
Yes.
Why have you voted for Rich?
He's the tallest guy on the podium.
That doesn't wash with me. Try again.
He's the gayest guy on the podium.
Statistically...
See, that the game... That's
Anne
a joke.
Robinson kicks in her inner Jeff Probst, and she's not taking any of these bad answers. She's going to make you give her an answer that she wants to hear, even though she doesn't even get what she's looking for.
No, and that, I mean, he's the gayest guy in the panel. I mean, that's something that at the time, I guess, was acceptable as like a joke, but like now, like I guess, like you could say that's a joke, but like it's like I don't know. Like I was like, ugh, like I don't know. Like is Ramona like that's the what sucks about watching this watching something from 2001 is like I can't tell if that's a joke or like I think it's a joke. I'm gonna tell myself.
And luckily, it was such a big part of Richard's character.
True.
You know, the big fat gay guy on the island is the one who ended up outlasting all the others. So it is a part of Richard. So that's I think it was well intended.
We'll take it as she meant it. It wasn't in a malicious way,
right? But,
anyway, interesting explanation by Ramona.
Right. So Richard's voted out 5-1, despite being the strongest link. He voted for Sue, and then he's going to have a little confessional afterwards, where he says he knows he was the strongest player, and that's why they got rid of him. And he thinks that Sue will be next.
Okay, so we'll see if Richard is correct. So, Matt, anything you want to add before we get into round number two?
No, I mean, that question that was funny that, we talked about earlier, the one that Ramona gets wrong where they dance around the word survivor. It's funny to keep track of that as we go on. And they try to incorporate survive the island and all this kind of stuff in some of the questions that, you know, take place in the other round. So
right. Yeah,
let's get into round two whenever.
Okay, so let's get into round two. And yeah, there was even one in the first round. Yeah. What movie was Tom Hanks in, a Castaway? Like that's,
yeah, yep.
Right? So stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep an eye out for that in round number two.
Okay, so in round two, we're going to start with the second strongest link, Gretchen, and we'll play the clip.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
We'll start with the second strongest link. That's you, Gretchen. 15 seconds coming off the clock. Let's play the weakest link. Start the clock. Gretchen, which classic horror story was written by Mary Shelley in 1816?
Frankenstein.
Correct, Joel. In government, who was director of the FBI for 48 years?
Hoover.
Correct. Sean, what actor provided the voice of Darth Vader in Star Wars?
James Earl Jones.
Correct. Susan, which is the only U.S. state completely surrounded by water?
Hawaii.
Correct. Ramona, in medicine, encephalitis refers to the swelling of which organ?
The brain.
Correct. Gretchen, on a bottle of sunscreen, what do the letters SPF stand for?
Don't know.
Sun protection factor. Joel, name for an Australian scholar, what M is the type of nut also known as Queensland?
Melbourne.
Macadamia. Sean, which author and lawyer wrote the novels The Firm and The Pelican Brief?
John Grisham.
Correct. Susan, located in Minnesota, what is the nation's largest shopping mall?
America.
No, I'll accept your first answer only. The correct answer is the Mall of America. Ramona, an alcoholic beverage which is 100 proof contains what percentage of alcohol?
80.
No, 50%. Gretchen, the Girl Scout handbook featured the first printed recipe for which marshmallow, chocolate, and graham cracker sandwich?
S'mores.
Correct, Joel.
Bank.
In business, the Latin phrase caveat emptor translates to what warning in English common law?
I have no idea.
Let the buyer beware. Sean, according to the Old Testament, what was the name of Adam and Eve's third child?
Seth.
Correct, Susan.
Bank.
In music, David Coverdale is the lead singer of which hard rock band?
CCR.
Time's up. The correct answer is Whitesnake. And in that round, you managed to bank $12,000. That money will go through to the next round. But one of you will not. Who's had no immunity against stupidity? It's time to vote off the weakest link.
Okay, so there we go. So round two is done. They start off pretty good. I mean, the 10,000, I remember watching that the first time I saw that, a couple days ago. I was the whole time, I was like, oh no, they're gonna screw it up. They're gonna screw it up. And good on Ramona for banking it. So they end up with 12,000. So they do, you know, somewhat decent job.
Well, the funny thing about that part is that she banks the $10,000 and then, you know, she gets the next question right.
Right.
So if she had kept it going and then Gretchen banked the money, then she would have earned the $50,000, which is a pretty big difference. But, you know, given her track record from the first round where she got absolutely nothing right and, you know, tried to bank the money that didn't exist, it's probably fair that she secures $10,000 while she has the opportunity.
Yes. So she does that. They end up with the 12,000 here. Now, in terms of the vote this time, after Rich was gone, me being naive, I thought, oh, okay, now they'll maybe vote out Ramona or, you know, maybe, you know, Gretchen or something. But no, Matt, again, we're sticking with the theme. Everybody votes against Sue Hawk.
Yes. Everybody but Sue Hawk.
Who did Sue
voted for Joel?
She voted for Joel. Okay,
yes.
So everybody is voting. So now it's a theme. Now it's like, okay, it's clear. The people who finished the highest on Survivor, they are on their season. They're going to get voted out first, and that's really the only way things are going to go the rest of this game.
But you would think that like Sue and Richard, sorry to cut you off. You would think that like Sue and Richard and whoever's, you know, maybe going to go out soon would catch on to that early. early on and try to flip things around and, okay, let's go after the other people. Because if Sue knew that Richard was going to go first and she was probably going to be next, wouldn't she want to not go next?
Yeah, exactly, right? You would think that, I mean, I don't understand how this worked. It was almost as if Ramona, like, went to Gretchen and said, okay, Gretchen, we have a final two. Then let's tell Joel we have a final three with him. Then we'll tell Sean we got a final four with him. And then we'll tell
so
Sue
strange.
We got a final five with her. And then we'll just keep voting them all out until it's just us at the end. I don't understand why Rich and Sue and Sean didn't team up and say beforehand. It seems like there was a pregame alliance with this, which is no stranger to game shows when survivors all get together. It's just... I was surprised.
And there's not much going on right after all that happens. Ramona's reason that she gives to Anne is, oh, the hair, which you won't be able to see, you know, if you're listening to this. But if you check out the video, you'll see Sue Hawk's hair is, you know, all over the place. But so that's her reason, the hair. Ramona's getting really good at giving really bad reasons.
Yeah.
And then Joel's reason is just, I knew she would vote for me.
Yeah, and the thing with Sue is funny. As you can tell, this is I remember Sue Hawk was on Extreme Makeover, but I think that was after this because if you see her hair,
it's something.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, maybe that was the time. I don't know, but very very fascinating. The thing that I skipped out on in the original the Richard clip that I want to play this time is the signature line of Anne. When someone gets voted off of the weakest link. And so Sue is ultimately voted out. And let's play the clip. Let's play the clip for you guys. This is what happens every time you're eliminated on the weakest link.
Well, it's votes that count. Susan, with 4 votes, you are the weakest link. Goodbye.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye. That is.
I wasn't even going to try the impersonation of it because nobody would be able to do it justice. She kills it every time she says it.
It's really great. I remember as a kid, my dad used to run around my house, and there was like a week or so. Like this is when the weakest link first came on, and he just kept saying that. I don't know why, but I do get it. It's very funny. When you think of the weakest link for people who watch the show at the time, I think her iconic line of "You are the weakest link. Goodbye." That is the show. That really made the show. And I'm surprised. I am kind of surprised this show didn't last longer. Because that was a really great line. It was it seemed like a decent game show at the time.
Yeah.
But anyway,
the issue was probably back then that she, like I said, she was hosting the UK version of the show, so she was only over here for 2 seasons, and I guess she ended up going back over there. And so there's plenty of Anne Robinson hosting the Weakest Link. It's just the UK version of the show that's out there. If anybody is interested in finding it.
Okay, so let's jump to round number 3, Matt, and we're down to our final 4 here.
Yep, we're going to start with Sean.
Sean, in Warner Brothers cartoons, Tweety Bird's archenemy is what lisping feline?
Sylvester the cat.
Correct. Ramona, what E is the native Arctic people whose earliest known settlement is Alaska's Aleutian Islands?
Eskimo.
Correct. Gretchen, in which country was actor Russell Crowe born?
Ireland.
New Zealand. Joel, in mythology, which flower is named for the Greek character who fell in love with his own image?
I don't know.
Narcissus. Sean, what boy is the only human character in the Winnie the Pooh stories?
I don't know.
Christopher Robin. Ramona, in parapsychology, what do...
Okay, I'm sorry. How do you not know the name of the little boy in Winnie the Pooh, Matt? Did you know you had to know that, right? You did not know Christopher Robin?
I did not. Which let my mom know that because some big Disney fans live here. But it's not something I knew.
Wow. Okay. Maybe let me know. Okay, if you're listening to this, if you were also very upset that Dr. Sean did not know who Christopher Robin was, because that was up there with the Survivor thing with Ramona. I think that was a little worse because of the theme of the episode.
Right.
But Christopher Robin is iconic, Matt.
I've definitely heard the name before. It's just not something that if you asked me right now, I would get right. It, you know, the name sounds familiar, rings a bell, but sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. If the listeners are Team Matt or Team JP on this, because I really do think that Christopher Robin.
Well, I don't want to undersell how important Winnie the Pooh is.
It is. It's very important. It's very important, Winnie the Pooh.
More of a Monsters, Inc. guy.
Okay. Okay. Let's get back to it.
Letters ESP stand for.
Path.
Extra sensory perception. Gretchen. Which New Orleans chef and Food Network star is known for exclaiming BAM?
Emeril Lagasse.
Correct, Joel. What Gloria Gaynor disco hit did VH1 crown as the number one greatest dance song of all time?
I Will Survive.
Correct, Sean. After 85 years, aerospace giant Boeing is moving its corporate headquarters from which U.S. city?
New York.
Seattle. Ramona, in anatomy, what circular opening in the eye is named for the Latin word meaning little doll?
Pupil.
Correct! Gretchen, in television, which actor has
She's so surprised that Ramona got that one right.
Yeah, it's so
she can't even hide it.
No, it's hilarious. It's great that she's like, oh my goodness, Ramona! Wow, she's so surprised. So, but I mean, and so at the end of this round, so round three ends, Matt. They end up banking $2,500. I kind of understand, okay, like if you're one of the dumb people, it makes sense to vote out the smart people because ultimately, you know, they're going to flip on you and get rid of you and you can't win at the end. But the big downside when you are getting rid of someone like Rich is that you're not going to bank any money in these rounds.
Right.
Like $2,500, and roasted them for getting $4,000.
Well, I'm pretty sure that they did only get $1,000 in this round. I might be wrong on
okay,
that, but
so
I'm
thousand.
Sure that,
okay, so 1,000, yeah. Even worse. So yeah, sorry, you're right. It is
even
1,000 because they got. worse. It was one right the entire round.
Well, the way that this round works is just kind of frustrating because Sean and Ramona answer a question right, Gretchen doesn't bank, and then she gets a question wrong. Gretchen and Joel answer a question right, Sean doesn't bank, gets it wrong. So they keep earning money, and then nobody banks the money, so it disappears. And then at the very end, Ramona gets a question right, surprises and to no end. And then Gretchen banks it like right before time runs out and manages to get the $1,000 to add to the pool.
So ultimately, after this round, the reverse pogonging strategy,
yes.
Or the revenge of the pogongs, they decide that they're all going to vote out Dr. Sean. Who did Sean vote for?
Sean voted for Ramona.
Ramona, okay. Smart, okay, finally, somebody thinking rationally.
Right,
but
not going to work, though.
No, it doesn't work. So Sean is voted out, and we're down to our final three, Matt.
Right, and Sean's going to tell you that he thinks that Joel will go next because the women are going to align against him, and you know we'll see if he's right, but definitely keep going with the clips that are right after this because she has some fun with Joel and with Gretchen after they cast their votes and send Sean out, or right before that, actually.
$1,000, that money will go through to the next round. One of you will not. Who's about to experience a little deja vu? It's time to vote off the weakest link. Voting over, it's time to reveal who you think is the weakest link.
Sean.
Sean. Ramona.
Joel, the one thing that shocks me, Joel, is that you seem unaware of a Greek character who fell in love with his own image. Why, Sean?
He blew the cash. I mean, he's supposed to bank, man. You're supposed to bank.
Gretchen, why, Sean?
To be honest, I don't want to be up at the final two with Sean.
Thanks, Gretchen.
So you're going to be in the final two? Well, it is votes that count. With three votes, Sean, you are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Okay.
So that's a good moment there when, I don't know how much people remember about Joel because, you know, he was... he was not on the jury in Survivor Borneo, but he was, you know, the first, I guess, Survivor alpha male. He was, you know, the big guy that, you know, he helped his tribe through all these challenges and stuff. And he's the big, good looking, you know, muscular guy out there. So she's picking a little fun at him that he doesn't know about a Greek character who fell in love with his own image. Yeah. And then later, Gretchen tries to say, you know, she doesn't want to go to the final two with Sean. And I guess Anne is just picking up on the fact that there's a final two alliance in play, and Gretchen's going there. She says, so you're going to be in the final two?
And then her response is, she's just like, what is it? It's not like an emoji, but you know when people make that, they make the shrug
yeah.
face thing. Yeah, yeah. That is exactly what she does.
This is, yeah, the 2001 equivalent of that. Yes. I'd like to be.
So sure enough. So Sean goes,
We have $17,000 banked so far.
Okay. So anything you want to add before we go to round four?
No, just, you know, remember the fact that they're playing for $1 million here and they have $17,000 locked up so far with two rounds to go. So, I mean, it's not, you know, just them that is going to have this kind of, you know, this amount of money, but they could have gone for a lot more.
Oh, definitely. Okay, let's go to round number four.
Yes.
Round four, team, so far you've banked $17,000. 15 seconds coming off the clock. We'll start with the strongest link from the last round. That's Ramona. Let's play the weakest link. Start the clock. Ramona, in astronomy, what former director of the Mount Wilson Observatory pioneered the theory of an expanding universe?
Galileo.
Hubble. Gretchen, which U.S. president was the first to make an official visit to China?
Carter.
Richard Nixon. Joel, what is the 25th letter of the modern English alphabet?
Okay, this question again. It's like, dude.
Yes, I wrote this one down too. I had to bring this up. There's no way he's getting away with this one.
We'll play the clip here. But oh my goodness, this is bad. Okay, so he's already wasted a good like 5 seconds.
Right.
And let's see how long he takes.
Why?
Correct.
And it doesn't really translate in the audio, but like he's struggling.
He's thinking. He's doing the whole alphabet in his head.
Yeah, and he's like counting.
And that'd be understandable if it was, what is the 17th letter of the alphabet, and you got to go through it and count. But there are 26 letters in the English alphabet, and she asked for number 25.
And he has to like go count, and he's using his fingers, and he's like, like, I don't know. Oh man, that was pretty bad. I expected more out of Joel, but maybe I shouldn't. Maybe based on his track record in Survivor. That shouldn't be a surprise to me. But anyway, he eventually gets it. Let's keep going.
Ramona, in terms of land area, which is the largest Canadian province?
Saskatchewan.
Quebec. Gretchen.
Not a bad guess from Ramona. What is the biggest Canadian province? No, it is Quebec. But I was impressed, Matt. I was impressed that Ramona knew what Saskatchewan was.
I have never heard that name before, so this is all you.
Okay.
My Canadian geography has only gotten better since I've known you, but it's definitely not, you know, at 100%. Yeah, we'll get there.
Okay.
In math, what is one half plus one third? Is your answer I know?
I don't know.
5-6. Joel, Oscar-winning actress Angelina Jolie is the daughter of what Oscar-winning actor?
John Boyd.
Correct, Ramona. What American beatnik poet wrote the epic poem Howl?
I don't know.
Allen Ginsberg. Gretchen, how many herbs and spices are there in the original recipe for Colonel Sanders' finger-licking good chicken?
Oh my God, 26.
Out of time, the correct answer is 11.
And who would know that?
The questions were very obscure this round. Like the Canadian province, and then that. But then we also had like with the KFC. But then we also have like, what is the 25th letter in the alphabet?
Yeah, some are easy, some are not so easy.
Like
but
the fractions one, like that one's pretty easy unless you don't like unless you haven't done grade school math in a while, which I also would understand. but
under the pressure, I guess it's a little bit harder to answer some of these questions when you know the spotlight. bites on you and you don't want to take too long. So, you know, I guess the 25th letter is a lot easier to come up with if, you know, you're just talking about it right now rather than having a huge spotlight on your face.
But even then, like, these guys are like, they're like pseudo celebrities at the time. Like, I'm sure they're used to being in, like, you know, being on TV and stuff like that. So they shouldn't be that nervous, but,
Yeah, Gretchen freezes a lot.
She really does.
She freezes a lot.
She does freeze a lot.
She's probably the smartest one up there. I mean, you know, Richard's pretty smart too, but out of the six of them, she's probably the smartest one. And, you know, she freezes way more often than you would expect her to.
Oh, definitely. So ultimately, again, very weak round, Matt. You would think with only three of them together, if it had some smart people, you could really do some damage in this round. But no, they end up, again, banking $1,000.
Yes, and we're going to lose Joel this round, which is what Sean accurately predicted, that the women are coming together for a small little woman's alliance. They're going to vote him out 2-1. Joel votes for Ramona, and he thinks that Ramona's going to win because she has that slight edge. He's going to tell us in a little confessional afterwards, and Ramona's reason is just, I wanted a woman to win. So all confirmed that there's a women's alliance here going to the final two.
And nice gameplay by Ramona and Gretchen. Good job by them coming together and making that alliance.
A little too late for the real show, but
right. But they
dominate
learned.
This one. All the power to them.
You know what? Like, if I was Jeff Probst and I watched that, or I guess he wasn't an executive producer at the time, but I would have, you know, Mark Burnett. If I would have saw that, I would have been like, oh, okay. Seems like Gretchen and Ramona have learned. Maybe, well, you know, Ramona wasn't that big of a character, but Gretchen certainly was. Why not? You know, why not give her another shot? She's somebody, I don't know what she's up to now, Matt, but she's someone nowadays who I think would be fun on a second chance season.
She would. I think, wasn't her name floated out a little bit before either Cambodia or this current one? I feel like I've seen her name.
For Cambodia,
I think it shocked the internet for like 5 minutes, and everyone was like, what? Maybe Gretchen? Or I don't know. There was, you know, the Greg rumor and all this stuff.
Right,
and,
yeah. No, I know the Greg
rumor. We'll get some of these guys eventually.
I hope so. I really do. The Greg rumor, yeah, that was out there. From what I had heard, I was still in the Big Brother house at the time when the Cambodia stuff was going on. So Gretchen, I don't know. I didn't hear Gretchen's name before.
Yeah, it might have been like 5 minutes, if anything. I don't think it was anything concrete that people were getting legitimately excited for, you know.
No.
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day. That would be fun. Okay, so Joel is voted out. So it's Ramona and Gretchen for the final round. So
right, and the way this final round is going to work, just to set things up, is that it's 1 minute. Anything banked will be quadrupled for just for this charity special, and probably for all the other charity specials that they do. They quadruple the money in the final round. I think they usually just double it. So if they can only manage to bank another pathetic $1,000, they'll at least get $4,000 out of it to add to the total bank. So right now they're up to $18,000, and they'll hopefully earn a little bit more money in this round. And yeah, we've got Ramona versus Gretchen.
Okay, so Matt, we're down to the final two. How does it work? So you mentioned the money is going to be quadrupled in this round that is banked. We don't need to really, there's not a lot really goes on this round, so we don't really need to break it down too much, but there are two stages of this, this final two. So, how does this work here?
Yeah. So the first part of the final two, you know, competing against each other is just one more round the same way the others have been. So they're going to go back and forth answering some questions, and they're just trying to add some more money to the prize pool at this point. And like, you know, like you said, it's the money's going to be quadrupled. So all of that is going to get added onto the $18,000 that they've already earned. And then the prize money at the end of that will go to whoever wins the second part of the final round.
Okay.
So in this final round, they're going to get two chains of correct answers each, bank $3,500, which is quadrupled to $14,000, which brings their total prize that they're going to face off for to $32,000.
Okay. So $32,000 is the final prize.
Yes.
Is that a good amount for a regular episode of the Weakest League? I feel like that's pretty weak.
I mean, I'm sure it could be better, and there's definitely been, you know, bigger prizes out there. But it's, you know, it's for charity, and they're going to end up giving, like I said at the beginning, they're giving $10,000 each to everybody else's charity, even if they didn't win. So it's not the greatest prize out there, but better than nothing when you're playing for charity.
Yeah, absolutely. No. So it's good that, yeah, I'm glad that it ultimately went to charity, and I did not know the $10,000 thing, that everybody got some money. So good on the Weakest Link for doing that. So we're going to bypass the final round of banking. We'll go down to the final two. So it's Ramona versus Gretchen. They're going to face off one. Is it one at a time they get their questions?
Yeah, they get three questions each. It's going to be one at a time, and whoever answers the most of the three questions first will win. If they have a tie after three questions, then they're going to keep going until somebody gets a question right and somebody gets a question wrong.
Okay, so let's get into it.
As the strongest link in the last round, you have the choice of who goes first.
I'll go first.
Gretchen, on the television show Gilligan's Island, on what tiny ship did the castaways begin their ill-fated three-hour tour?
The SS Minnow.
Correct. Ramona, which toy company introduced the Barbie doll in 1959?
Mattel.
Correct. Gretchen, what nautical unit of depth is equal to 6 feet?
A league.
No, fathom. Ramona, in the 1830s, which U.S. gun maker invented the six-shot revolver?
Smith.
Nope, Samuel Colt. Gretchen, in movies The Pink Panther, The Great Race, and 24 other Blake Edwards films were all scored by which composer?
Bernstein.
Nope, Henry Mancini. Ramona, if you answer this question correctly, you have won. Four of the first five U.S. presidents were born in which of the original 13 colonies?
Virginia.
That is the correct answer. That means, Ramona, you are tonight's strongest link, and you go away with $32,000 for your charity.
Ramona won, Matt?
Ramona won.
Oh my goodness! I was, you know, when you first pitched this to me, and I looked at who was on, and I saw Ramona was on. I was like, okay, well, I know for sure, you know, it's probably going to be Rich or, you know, Sean who wins this. Ramona's not going to win. I don't think so. But Ramona, she did it, Matt. She did it.
She pulls it off. And then she's going to say at the end, she says she feels like she got revenge because the last time the six of them were together, she was out first. So Ramona's revenge.
And again, it's funny. Like she says, the last time we were together, I was the first. It went in the other. Even think she said I was the first one out. She said it went the opposite way. Like she couldn't even reference that she was voted off first.
Yeah,
it's crazy this entire time, but very interesting nonetheless. But yeah, a big surprise. I would not have expected Ramona to win that, but good for her. She wins $32,000 for her charity. Do we know what the charity was?
No, I don't think they ever say it. And
okay,
I don't
so
know.
it's not like the Apprentice, where the Celebrity Apprentice, where they announce what the charity is.
No.
But okay, so Ramona wins. Gretchen ultimately, I think Gretchen kind of got screwed by those final two questions. You know, like that last question was like, which composer did all these movies? Like that, or which?
Right. And Ramona's final question is relatively easy for anybody who has, you know, a basic knowledge, or maybe not a basic, like a little bit above a basic knowledge of U.S. history. The question about where did the most U.S. presidents, you know, where were they born out of the original colonies? And the answer is Virginia. I knew that. I think a lot of people, or more people than don't, probably know that. So the fact that that's the final question that's going to win Ramona the game is, it's like asking what the 24th letter of the alphabet is. It's, you know, it's not the hardest question ever, considering what Gretchen was, you know, being asked. asked to answer just before that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, right? I mean, I was very, I was surprised. I mean, and even if you don't, like, that's a question where, I think she said, what, five of the first six presidents were born in which of these colonies? Like, that's a question where that you're taught that in school, like, as a kid, and, you know, all you have to know is where was George Washington born? Like, if you know that, then you're good.
There's 13 options, you know, narrow it down in your head, and you probably know the answer already. So it's a little bit easier than Gretchen's questions, but, you know, we'll let Ramona have her win. We don't have to knock it too much.
No. She gets the win. She earns it, and it's for her charity, so that's good.
Yep.
and, you know, I'm sure this is probably – this has got to be one of the last times we see Ramona on TV, Matt.
Probably. I mean, I did see that. I mean, we'll have to check with, Ali Lasher on this, but I did see that she was on an episode or two of The Challenge. I don't know if she was a contestant on it, but
really,
I want to say it was in her IMDb credits that, or something, that she was on an episode or two of it. So, I don't know if she was a contestant or if she was just making a guest appearance. You know, a lot of these guys make guest appearances, which, you know, my favorite one is the one where the survivors go on to Big Brother 2.
And
great. They play those games with the final four: Hardy, Will, Monica, and Nicole. And the four of those survivors jump in. So, you know, they were all around. So Ramona, you know, jumped in here and there, but not much from her sense.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, and it's a fun little exercise to do, to see, you know, just to look at the impact these guys had in pop culture then,
yeah,
compared to what to the scale that the survivors are on nowadays.
Right.
Yeah, so Matt, I mean,
we can't not talk about the fact that they did have a show similar to this recently, when we had the Price is Right special with, you know, the survivors and the Big Brothers, mm-hmm, and the Amazing Racers. So it's not like it's never been. It's never happened again. We did have, as recent as last year, we had a special for all three of these shows that, we had contestants on, we had the hosts on and all this stuff, but those were a lot more of like a one-time deal than, you know, than the contestants back there were doing.
Absolutely. And I think it's also different as well when it's a CBS run game show, and the fee, they're promoting it. And, you know, you have people like Boston Rob on, you have Dr. Will Kirby. They got like some A-list people from both of those shows. Whereas for this, on Survivor Warnia, we really have people in the grand scheme of things that aren't overly memorable be put on not just a CBS game show, but on a big time NBC game show that is on like a rival network. So I found that fascinating. Was there anybody that we didn't see here, Matt? Like, if you could pick one person from the Borneo cast, one or two people that we didn't get to see on this game, on this episode of The Weakest Link, who would you want to see?
It has to be Rudy. There's no way that the answer isn't Rudy. If we can get Rudy, you know, answering a question, I mean, I don't want to butcher the impression, but, you know, the I don't know kind of thing.
Yes.
Like, if we can get him on here doing something like that for a question he doesn't know, and getting him all the way to the finals doing as many of those as possible, then I think the show is 10 times better than it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rudy would have been amazing. I think Jervis would have been really good. Greg.
Oh, yeah.
Greg
Especially if he was eliminated. And,
yes.
You know,
yes. He would have been
sure
good.
He would have taken it well.
Right. Greg Buist would be good, of course. Colleen Haskell, one that I think would also be great in the keeping with the theme of like old people. BB would have been so good on this.
Yeah.
Oh, BB,
he would probably be a lot less cranky than he was on Survivor, so it would have been fun to see him in a different format.
Oh,
you know,
man.
Game show. But
BB is so
we'll
good. Is BB still alive, Matt?
He is not.
Oh, rest in peace, BB. I love BB so much.
I believe he was the second survivor to pass away after Jen Lyon.
No, rest in peace to BB. He was great, and it seemed like he lived a great life. Could have been even better if he was on this, but that's too bad. Okay, yeah, I see. So 2013, BB passed away. Man, my day is so sad now that BB's dead.
I'm sure you knew that.
I'm the kind of person who, I like, if there's a bad memory I have, I just push it out of my brain. So
you might need that.
Yeah,
you might need that
coming up
soon.
Yes, I might need that soon, based on what's happening in the world. But anyway, Matt, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it. Anything you want to add on to wrap up this special Survivor themed edition of The Weakest Link before we get out of here?
Not much. It was definitely a lot of fun to go back and, you know, see all these Borneo contestants. And, you know, we're going into the show's 34th season right now, and we're bringing back, you know, some of the biggest game changers and some of the other people who have played Survivor to play another season. And we've seen a bunch of Borneo players come back recently. We've had Jervis and Kelly. So it's fun to go back and see them back in their day, like when this was their thing and their time and Survivor was all about them. And, you know, the new contestants would come along and, you know, as time went on, you know, their 15 minutes, you know, spread as, you know, thin as thin could be. But it's fun to see, you know, back when people are like excited to see these people and they're just as excited to be there and, you know, having, you know, a good time on these shows.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun time. I mean, this is not the first time we see survivors go on game shows for charity. I mean, we see, you know, there's a Fear Factor episode with some Survivor people and other reality TV people. Sue and Rich were on Dog Eat Dog. So it's
one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, fun show.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, so it's cool to see go back in time and, you know, reminisce on the days when Survivor was. It was huge. It was really a massive thing. And it's, you know, it's, it would be fun if we could ever get, we'll never get back to that, but it would be fun to think about if we could get there.
We just need to get Michaela on some kind of show and, we'll get it going again. If the other networks and everybody out there starts to see some of the personalities that casting has been giving to us lately, if they get Michaela on their show or something like that, we'll get back into this.
And speaking of the challenge too, Matt, I think Michaela would be amazing on the challenge. She'd be very good. But
that would be a lot of fun.
Another podcast for another day, perhaps.
Right.
Matt, where can people find you if they want to follow you or hear from you?
I'm on Twitter at Matt Liguori. If you can't spell my name, just go to Jordan's page and I'm sure you'll find it or something like that, but it's not too hard. And also, just to throw this out there, that I will be talking with Rob soon on the main podcast for the Game Changer interviews. I won't like say the name of who it is, but it is on my Twitter just because the cast hasn't been announced yet. So I'm pretty sure that we're trying to, you know, lock it down with saying all these names so far, but
right.
Rob is doing the Game Changer Expert podcasts that are coming out probably sometime in February. I'm not sure exactly when they're coming out, but you'll hear from me again when that happens. So I'm looking forward to having that talk with Rob and yeah.
All right. Well, Matt, looking forward to checking that out. Should be a lot of fun. Any ideas for a hashtag for this episode?
25th letter. Can you hashtag with a number?
Yeah, hashtag.
I think
you can hashtag with a letter now. Before, it was with a number. I was thinking you can't do, but yeah. Hashtag. Sorry. So 25th letter. I think we could do that. I think that'll work. If not,
you could do something about. I don't know, the eye of the tiger.
Let's do hashtag 25th letter. If you can't do it with the numbers, just spell it out. If you made it all the way to the end, let us know what you think of this episode of The Weakest Link. Or there's something that you want to talk about with the episode, or what you thought of Matt. I think you did a great job,
nice.
Matt. But be nice. This is Matt's first podcast.
Or be mean. That's totally fine. I mean, I'm not going to tell you how to think.
No. But for real, be nice to Matt. This is his first podcast. I think you did a stellar job, my friend.
I appreciate you having me on. It was a lot of fun and honored to have my first podcast appearance be with the great Jordan Parr.
Oh, well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. And don't forget to follow Matt on Twitter. It's at Matt Liguori.
Yes.
Okay, at Matt Liguori. You can follow me on Twitter.
But don't feel obligated. You do not have to do that.
Okay. Well, if you want to, you can. You can.
If you
want to
say hi, you can.
If you want to say hi, you can say hi. You can also do the same with me. I am at Jordan Parhar on Twitter. Love getting your feedback on robisawebsite.com as well. Just another programming note so that you guys know. I talked about this on a recent RHAP episode where Rob did just a check-in with all of the reality TV Rehapups hosts. I'm going to be hosting a Happy Hour Lovecast special podcast right before Valentine's Day. So we need some love questions from the listeners of the Happy Hour for that episode of the podcast. We're going to be talking to a couple of millennial males, and we're going to get their perspective on love questions and those sorts of things. And we're going to be talking to some millennial females. So if you have a question that you want to ask to either group, please send those in to me. You can email them in happy hour at robhasawebsite.com. If you want to subscribe to the podcast and never miss an episode, it is the off season, so the schedule is a little bit in flux, and you know, we're not always going to have episodes every week just because I'm, you know, caught up with school and some other stuff. So if you want to make sure you don't miss any episodes, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/happy hour for that. Okay, that is going to do it for this edition of the show. Thank you guys so much for listening. For Matt Ligori, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag 25th letter. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. The theme song of the Reality TV Rehappy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.